Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday, February 10, by Tom Job, from John chapter 14.
Lord, I do ask you to help us and help us to understand some of this stuff. Is, you know, sometimes I think a lot of us, I struggle in ways that, you know, I think about how Jesus said to Thomas, said to Philip, you both know the answer to your question. You just need to think. And I know so many times things that I struggle with, I know the answer to it. It's something simple. I just don't believe it very well. So I ask you to help us believe simple stuff so we don't have complicated problems. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to read to you guys from, this is from the Gospel of John in chapter 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I mean, you all know this is Jesus, was with his guys, with his the guys that had been so committed and so close to him for 3 years. And this was the last meal that they were going to share together. Normally it was a super joyous thing, but this one wasn't. It was just, there was an ominous feeling about it. And he was sharing with them the last things that he wanted to tell them before things would change. First in terrible, and then in wonderful ways. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, you will also be. And you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. And Philip said, show us the Father. And that's enough. It's all we need. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The word that I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but it's the Father who dwells in me, who does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do greater works, will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, or another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it's neither seen him or know him. But you know him because he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I don't know. I just think they were super upset. And I understand it, you know, because they had given. I mean, you know, he was telling them, I'm going to go away from you. And what? I mean, because you know, they had given their whole life to him. I mean, they had left, they weren't living in their houses anymore. They were sleeping in fields and waking up wet and, you know, sleeping on rocks. And they weren't kids. You know what I mean? What it would feel like to wake up in a field after sleeping on a rock. And their families kind of were hating on them, and whatever career ladder they had gotten on, they had climbed off of that. One of the disciples who spoke up at this, you know, that we just read, named Philip, his name means the lover of horses. And I don't know, maybe, you know, they had horses or they had money or he raced horses or something, you know, and say goodbye to that. I mean, and it's like, Jesus, the only reason we did this is because of you, was because we wanted to be with you and just being around you. And now you're going away. I mean, we've gone through dangerous stuff. I mean, we've been in storms because of you. Because you told us to go when we wouldn't have go out onto the sea. And then we got in storms. And there are two times in the Gospel of John where at a certain point people picked up stones to stone Jesus. And I mean, if they were standing around, I mean, we were going to get whacked in the head. And it says in Mark chapter 1. It says that Jesus was with wild animals. There were wild animals with him. And it's like, I mean, we've been through all kinds of stuff for you. And it's just because that's why we got in this, just to be with you. And now you're leaving. If you're going to leave, I don't want to do this. Like, it doesn't make any sense anymore. It's like, you know, you told us to be little children and to act like little children. In fact, he called them my little children. Okay, so now we're your little children. If you leave us, that makes us orphans. Okay? It's like we're like little children who we're all alone now. We're all alone in the world. We didn't ask to come into this world, and now we're all alone. You're going to leave us alone, and we're going to be cold and afraid, you know, like orphans are. I was reading this thing this week. I mean, it's from the musical Little Orphan Annie, and it's about orphans in New York City in an orphanage. I mean, that, you know, and they're singing songs about it, and one of the songs that they sing, it's like this cutest song ever. I mean, it kind of cheers you up. And then you read the words, and the words are terrible. About, you know, they just said it's a hard knock life for us. Instead of treated, we're tricked. Instead of kissed, we're kicked. It's a hard knock life. Got no folks to speak of. Cotton blankets instead of wool. Empty belly instead of full. Don't it feel like the wind is always howling? Don't it feel like there's never any light? Once a day. Don't you want to just throw the towel in? It's easier than putting up a fight. There's no one there when your dreams at night get creepy. No one cares if you grow or if you shrink. No one dries your eyes when they get wet and weepy. It's an empty belly life. It's a rotten, smelly life. It's full of sorrow life. It's a no tomorrow life. You know, I've got two grandbabies. They live in two different orphanages in Africa, and they're not nice places. They're about a year and a half old. One of them is going to be named Desmond, and one of them is going to be named Quincy. And my daughter Emily and my son-in-law Graham and Tina are going to go rescue them, and they don't know it. And I just pray for them every day. And what it feels like to be an orphan in the world. And to think that my life is terrible and nobody cares. You know, I was thinking about that movie that we showed, you know, about Bosnia and all that. Because I went with a guy one time. It was during that time. It was in the October of 94. And he had a pass with Samaritan's Purse, it wasn't Operation Christmas Child, but it was a Samaritan's Purse pass and a UN pass, and he was taking supplies to pastors all through Bosnia at that time. And it was like his fifth trip, I think, and he asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, do I want to go? No. But, I mean, I just felt like he was going, and he was keeping pastors. He was the only lifeline they had to the outside world, and so we spent a week, you know, going through that country and taking things to pastors and living this adventure. It was the craziest week of my whole life. But when we got out, when we had gotten out of Bosnia and we were on the Croatian coast, and we stopped at friends that he had, and the guy had taken a resort along the coast, and he had made it into a home for children, for orphans from the Bosnian War, who could come out and spend a week or 2 weeks on just to get them out of the war. And so they could be at the beach and just have some fun and just to be kids. And that's what he did, and just share Jesus with them during the week. And I asked him, I said, what are the kids like when they come out? And a lot of them were orphans. And he said, you know, when they eat like birds. They kind of peck at their food, and then they look around. And then they eat a little bit more, and then they look around because they're so afraid that something's going to happen to them. Because they're alone in the world. And he said they would take him out on a boat out on the Adriatic. And he said, we had to stop doing it because they were so afraid that teenagers would become incontinent because they were, you know, they were just afraid. And it's just like orphans. And I think that these guys were like, that's how we feel now. You're leaving us alone in this world. And we've become your little children, and now we're scared. And we don't know who's going to take care of us. And, you know, we don't have our homes anymore. And Jesus just told them, guys, it's not like that. It's just, I mean, he's just like, there's stuff that you don't understand. But it's not going to be like that. In fact, it's going to be amazing. And he just started to explain to them. He said, knowing that that they were feeling this way, he said, guys, I'm leaving you for a while. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you to myself. And you know where I'm going, and you know the way I'm going. And Thomas says, how do we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus said, I am the way, Thomas. You know that. You know the answer to your own question. Just think, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, sometimes people say, does that mean you have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? Yes, you do. Is Jesus saying like there's something wrong with every religion in the world? Well, it's not. I mean, there's something wrong with a lot of religions, but some of them are nice. But it's not that there's something wrong with every religion in the world. It's that there's something wrong with every heart in the world. There's something wrong with every person in the world. And you could have the nicest religion you want to, and nobody would be able to keep it. I mean, like the Boy Scout oath, it's a very nice. I mean, on my honor, I will do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to do good to others at all times, really all times, to be morally, to be physically strong, mentally awake. I'm mentally awake, really? I mean, these are 13-year-old boys, 1:45 in the afternoon in May, after lunch, you're in math. There's no way. And to be morally straight, I mean, nobody, morally straight, like morally perfect, I mean, and depending on how they vote, they're going to have to change the wording of that thing anyway, so. But I mean, nobody can do that stuff. When I say that I believe in Jesus, what I'm saying is I don't believe in me anymore. I can't do it. I'm a mess, and I have to have Jesus in my life. And then he said, and I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to take you to the Father's house. And Philip is like, to the Father's house? I mean, that's kind of, it's kind of scary to think about, because like, I mean, I know you're talking about your Father God and everything, but in all of the scriptures that they had up to that point, which was what the Old Testament, to them, it was the only Testament. It was all they had. And they said, whenever God, like one time he came down on a mountain and they couldn't get near it, or else they would die. And there was like, God was like a thunderstorm with lightning. But it never moved. It just stayed there with lightning and clouds and thunder and fire and trumpets blowing that got louder and louder and louder. And it's like, if you take us to the Father's house, is it going to hurt us? And Jesus is like, Philip, no. There's something, you know this, but you're just not thinking. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. There's a question that echoes down through like the Gospels. The question is, who is this person? Like in Matthew 21, it's kind of like a, it sounds like an owl in the forest of St. Matthew and the forest of St. Luke and St. Mark and St. John. That's just going, who is this? You know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem and everybody asked, who is this? Jesus asked his own guys, who do you say that I am? One time they were on this big storm and Jesus was asleep and he woke up and he made everything calm. And he said, guys, where's your faith? And they said, who is this person? And one day he just answered the question. He answered the straight up. And it made people crazy. I think in order to understand why it made certain people crazy, angry, because of Jesus' answer to who he was, is that I think it's difficult for us to understand, but like the Jewish people back in those times, they were so, so far ahead of anybody else in the world because God had told them about himself. I mean, they believed, everybody else believed in these little gods, the gods of your town, then there's the god of the other town. And a lot of times they were mean, and most of the time they were creepy, and you know, they'd do things with each other and through to each other, and I mean, it was terrible. But the Israeli people knew, because God had chosen them to know, that there was one God. And the one God was the God who had created the world. And he was infinite in time and infinite in power. And in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah said, you who lift up your voice, who brings good news to Zion, go up on a mountain and lift up the voice and say the good news. And it's like, what is the good news? The good news is, behold your God. Just think about the God that you have. Isaiah said, you have a God who has measured out the heavens with a span, which means a span means like the tip of your thumb to the tip of your little finger. That's like the heavens. I mean, when you think about how the heavens, if you made our solar system into the size of a quarter, the next star and the next solar system would be 200 yards away. And in our Milky Way, there's 100 billion quarters. You know, if you had a car that could like go through the earth and also go through space, and it could just like dig through the earth at about the speed you go on the interstate, like say 65 miles an hour, it would take you 5.5 days to go right through the earth from one end to the other. And it would take you 168 days at 65 miles an hour to get to the moon. And it would take you 176 years at 65 miles an hour to get to the sun. And you'd be hot as all get out. But to go across the Milky Way at 65 miles an hour would take 4 million billion years at 65 miles an hour. It's like humongous. And Milky Ways like ours, there's 100 billion of them. And for our God, it's like the tip of his thumb to his little finger. He's humongous. Isaiah said he weighs out the dust of the earth in a scale. The dust of the earth weighs 7 sextillion tons. It's like 7 with 21 zeros after it. And God's like, it's just nothing. And that's the God that they had. And one time, when God was asking Moses to do a really big thing, and they hadn't heard from God in a long, long time. And Moses is like, okay, but I'm not just going to say, you know, God, like, what's your name? Like, when they ask me, who's sending you? What should I say your name is? And God said, okay, here's my name. Ayah, Asir, Ayah. I am that which I am. My name is I Am. And Moses is like, that's why they call you Yahweh. Because they already did, which means he is. You're the one who is. And God said, that's my name, I Am. There was a time, one day, when Jesus had kind of been hinting at this. in John chapter 6 when he had sent his guys across the lake and they were in a big, big storm. And he came walking out on the water, which was completely amazing. And they started screaming because they thought, they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "Guys, don't be afraid." And sometimes it's translated, "It's me." But that's not what it says in the original Greek. And sometimes it's translated, "I am he," which, I mean, grammatically that's better. But, because "it's me" is not right. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, "Guys, don't be afraid. I am." One day, he was talking with some people who really were hating on him. And he said, "If you were like Abraham's people, you would love me. Abraham longed to see my day." And he did see it. And he was so happy. And like, "What? How can you say that? You're not even 50. How can you say Abraham lived 2,000 years ago?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily." In other words, you need to sit down. This is going to be on the final. "Before Abraham was," he didn't say, "I had already been." "Before Abraham was, I already was." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they were like, "What?" And that's when they got some rocks. You can't say that. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Paul said, he said one time to some people, "Take care of the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And he said, when Jesus shed his blood, that was Almighty God shedding his blood. In John chapter 6, he said, "Unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins." What he actually said is, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." That Jesus was and is. He was became human, but he was all the Almighty God who came to love us and show us how to live, but he came to pay for us because he had to become human because that's what we are. To take our place, you have to be one. But he was Almighty, the infinite God, because the price he had to pay was infinite. It took an infinite person to do it. And you have to believe that Jesus was and is God to have peace with God. But in order to have the peace of God, you have to believe that God is Jesus. I mean, if you just think back and you realize Jesus was saying and is saying that he is the Almighty God. That means the stuff that he did, that was God doing it. One time there was a guy and he had leprosy and he was yucky and stinky and dangerous. And he came and fell at Jesus' feet and said, I know you could do this. I just don't know if you would, but you could heal me. And it said Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed him. But before he healed him, he touched him. And it's just like he didn't have to do that. But that is the heart of God. There was a guy screaming at him one time. And just help me. Jesus was on the most important trip of his time on earth. To Jerusalem, a guy screaming at him, and people are like, "Shut your face, man, you're driving us crazy. It's rude and it's not right. And what if everybody does this?" And he's just like, "Jesus, help me." And Jesus stopped because a guy was screaming for him. That's the heart of God. He went to parties where everybody was a total mess. I mean, like, one thing I've learned just from working in jails and prisons is that people that have a history of meth, they have terrible teeth. What if you were at a party and you were the only one who had healthy teeth? Just because everybody was a mess and he went. Because that is the heart of God. And I have to believe that Jesus is God. But in order to make it and to not freak out all the time, I also have to believe that God is Jesus. That Almighty God is Jesus-y. And you know, it's like there's one God. We believe in one God. But the Shema that the Israeli people, Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. There is one God. But this one God, he exists in three distinct people. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not like three phases, like a tadpole was an egg and he turns into a frog. It's not three titles to a person's job, like a guy's a husband to somebody, he's a father to somebody else, and he's a dentist to somebody else. It's not that. It's three distinct people of the Father, and he loves the Son, and the Son loves the Holy Spirit, and yet one God. I don't understand it. We can't understand it. Whenever anybody tries to explain it, they're always wrong. There's no understanding it. One thing I do need to understand, though, is that Almighty God is Jesus-y. And when Jesus was in a crowd that was pushy and pulley and bossy and grabby, and a woman who meant nothing to anybody, and her life was meaningless to everybody, and nobody cared about her one bit, and she just, I'm going to do this thing, and she just pushed as hard as she could and reached out, and she touched him, and he stopped for her, and that's like, that's the heart of God. And I'm in this Milky Way, and our earth is spinning. And you and I, like, we're nothing. We're nothing in this grabby, pushy world. And I'm on a globe that is spinning at 1,004 miles an hour. And where we are on our latitude, we're going about 700 miles an hour right this second. And we are going around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. If you feel a little bit sick to your stomach, that's why. And our solar system is spinning at 558,000 miles an hour. And our galaxy is spinning at 490,000 miles an hour. And I just call out to him, and he stops because he's Jesus-y. There was one time Jesus went to a funeral and everybody was super sad. And he went to the funeral with the intention of making the person who was dead come back to life. And people were crying and he went there knowing what he was going to do. And he's like, what's up, baby? You know, slapping people on the rear and stuff. I'm about to make the saddest day and you're glad it's day. Cheer up, everybody. He didn't do it. He just started crying. And it's like, why is he crying? He knew what he was going to do because they were crying. You know, and the heart of God, he knows, you know, that he knows stuff happens to us. And it's really, really hard and sad. And he knows that, according to Romans 8:28, it's part of a plan. He's going to work it out. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to look back and say, that was perfectly awesome. And everything worked out great. And he's outside of time, already sees how it's all going to work out great. But he's not laughing at me. He's crying with me. Because that's the heart of the God we have. Jesus is God. And God is Jesus. And God the Father is like Jesus. And Jesus is God the Son is just like himself, and the Holy Spirit is like him too. And I need to believe that in this world that I live in. And sometimes Jesus, you know, he would take people right to the edge, and then he would do something awesome. When I was on that trip with that guy, when we were in, you know, going through Bosnia, and it was like I had never been so far from home in my entire life. And we were driving, we had driven right through Sarajevo, and we stopped for gas. And my friend Lou, his key broke in the gas cap, and there was nothing but a tiny nub. And we were like, now what do we do? He had another key, but it's like, we're stuck. And we just prayed. And he took his fingernails on that little nub. And he just pulled the key and it came out. And it was awesome. But after we left and we were driving across northern Italy, We ran out of gas in 30 minutes. We filled up again and ran out again in 30 minutes. Turned out he had the wrong gas cap on the thing and it wasn't letting air pass, and the gas tank collapsed underneath his car. But if that had happened 2 days before that, we would have been in a bad place. But our God knew. And he has a heart that's like the heart of Jesus for us. And you know, and Jesus said, not only that, I'm going to be with you. I mean, I'm going away in a certain sense, but I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be able to see me, but it's going to be better that way. Like when Jesus was on earth, you know, in his human body and everything, he could be at one place, but in order to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he had to walk. But now it's better because he's with us when we need him. He's with Sven Jorgensen in Sweden when he calls out to Jesus, and he's with them, and he's with Robert Numbaba in Uganda when he's with him, and when Manuelita Rodriguez cries out to him, he's with her. He's with, you know, he's with all of us now. Seeing's not as great as you think it is. You know, even if we can't see him, there were times when they saw him and they thought he was a ghost. And he does greater. And he said, and I'm going to do through you being with you, I'm going to do greater things than even now. And it's like, you're going to do with me greater things than you've seen in the past. And you're like, how is that possible? I mean, making bread for 1,000 people. But when he did that, they wanted to make him into a king because they knew tomorrow we're going to be hungry again. But the inside of a person is more important than the outside, and forever is greater than now. And if he uses us to heal a person on the inside, and it lasts forever because he's with us, that's greater. You know, my friend Lou, when we went on that trip, there was a little village. The first time he was going through, about a mile down this dirt road, there was this tiny little Bosnian Muslim village. He just went. God said, go. And he just went down that road to see who they were. And they had suffered so much by the Serbs. And he said, how can I help you? And the next time he went, he took vitamins and medicine. And the next time he went, he took clothes for them. And the time we went, we had shoes, all just shoes for all the kids. It was like 200 people in this village, like 70 kids, and we took them all shoes. And when we got there, it was like, Lou, 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 Lou. And they were so excited. And the chief of the town made this big goat cheese, goat meat. And we had to drink this stuff that was like schnapps or something, but it was like crazy. But anyway, it was awesome. But because it was a religious war, the Croatian Catholics had been aligned with the Nazis and they had done atrocities. The Serbs were Russian Orthodox. They were doing atrocities. The Muslims were part of the Ottoman Empire. They had done atrocities in the 1400s, and it was still about that stuff. But they knew that this person loves us. He loves Jesus and he loves us. And another thing that he had was we had New Testaments in the Bosnian language, and we had 200 of them. And Lou said, could I give these out? And the chief said, Lou, you can do whatever you want. And they're still there. And I don't know what God has done through them, but I think it would be greater than if we had made food for the whole town. And Jesus said another thing. Not only will the Father be with you, and he's just like me, I'm going to be with you. And the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you. And he's like a counselor, and he's going to tell you stuff, and he's going to help you feel stuff. I'm giving you peace. And when you don't have peace, you can ask the Holy Spirit, I know all these things, but give me peace. I'm afraid. Take my fear away. I want to feel that you love me. Help me feel that you love me. And he will. We're not orphans. We don't have to be afraid. When I got ready to go on that trip, because I knew it was crazy. I knew what Lou was doing. And I was a little bit afraid of going. I was super afraid of going. You know, the week before I went, I had nightmares. I never had nightmares. I had nightmares of being kidnapped. I had nightmares of having bags put over my head and being shot. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of me, who is Jesus-y, just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I said, give me courage. And when we drove out of the driveway, I said goodbye to Tina. Hope I see you again. And I had a peace that I've never felt. And I had it the entire time. And when we were driving on the interstate of Italy towards Bosnia, somebody had written on the bridge over the interstate, Christo in Bosnia, e tu dove sei? It said, Christ is in Bosnia, and where are you? And I said, I'm on my way, baby. And so we take this bread and we take this cup that Jesus has died. And he's risen from the dead. He's gone into heaven, but he hasn't left us alone. He's here with us, and the Father is all around us, and Jesus is right beside us, and the Holy Spirit's inside of us, and we never have to be afraid of anything again. So I just ask you to come. If you love Jesus and you've trusted in him, if you've never trusted in Jesus, just do it. I'm tired of being afraid. Jesus, take my sin away. I want you in my life. I believe that you died to pay for me. I believe that you're risen from the dead. I believe you're offering me this gift. I take it. And then just come and take it. And we'll take the bread, take the cup, and take it back to our place and take it to the place. Won't you come?
For more information about Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, including staff blogs, ministries we love and support, or just to connect with us, you can find us on the web at c3oakridge.org.